Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
Praise God. I've been talking to you the last few weeks about worship and about praise. You know, sometimes we talk about, well, Pastor, we're a praising church and we're a worshiping church and we don't need that sermon. Well, I think that we need to remember why we're doing it. Not just because the beat's good and the music's good, but because God is good. Amen. And so we've been talking about sacrifice and praise and vice versa. Praise and sacrifice and worshiping. Tonight I want to talk about fixing our heart on praise. Fixing our heart on praise. Now, if you're in the South, that's fixing. I'm fixing. But, you know, normally it's fixing our heart on praise. Hallelujah. Go with me to the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 12 is where we're going tonight. Hallelujah. Just got a few things I want to give you tonight. I don't plan on holding you too long. Oh, ye of little faith. Mary, I know where you live. Hallelujah. Fixing our heart on praise. Now, don't forget, we're in a series on Sunday called Getting Unstuck. And we talked about Sunday, getting unstuck in your finances. And if you didn't get a budget piece of paper that you could help with your budget, then see me and I'll print you off another one. You can go to the website and get one. But remember, this Sunday we're going to be receiving an offering. I felt like when the Lord spoke to me to preach that, we're going to receive this offering this next Sunday for our mission in Uruguay, that we're going to build a church there in Uruguay. And let me just tell you what I feel like the Lord is saying. The Lord is saying if we'll build a church in Uruguay, that He's going to pay off our church. And that's what I believe. I believe that. Amen. And so, I don't know, It could happen. I don't care how it happens. I just want it to happen. Amen. And so we need 20,000. And Pastor, you think we're going to get it all on this Sunday? Very possible. Amen. Absolutely. Surely Amen. Possible. But, you know, we've got a year to do it. We're going to be, we told him that we would commit to for a year to raise at least 20,000 to build a church there in Uruguay. And I'm supposed to go back to Uruguay and preach their national convention next September. So prayerfully they'll have it done by then. That would be cool for me to go preach in the church that we built. Amen. And so we'll see how that goes. But be in prayer. Come and be praying about what God wants you to do, whether it's $5, $500, $5,000, $50,000, whatever. And I know that God's going to bless you for that. I know that God has challenged me to give one of the biggest offerings I've ever given. So I'm right there with you. And you may say, oh, but Pastor, you don't have what I got. I've got a daughter going to college. And we just found out it's more than what we thought it was going to be. So my natural tendency is go, okay, God, no, I can't do what you told me to do. But let me just put it like this. Me and God are wrestling right now. Now, I know y'all don't ever have to do that because y'all are spiritual. Because y'all had a bag of chips and some government cheese. But sometimes I got to wrestle with God. Amen. Wrestling with Him. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Got word today that, I take care of three cars. I got word today one of them needs a $650 compressor. Me and God wrestling. Come on, somebody. So why are you saying that, Pastor? Not for you feel sorry for me. No, I want you to know that I deal with the same thing you deal with. I want you to know that, you know, it ain't like I'm all that in a bag of chips up here. No. I deal with some of the same thing. And just because you got pastor on your name or reverend or whatever you want to call bishop, whatever, doesn't mean that you are exempt from the enemy attacking you and you're exempt from sometimes wrestling with God. Listen, I wrestle with God sometimes about the very thing that I just got through preaching. You know, there was another minister here in our church that was telling me about an incident that tested his sanctification. And I said, you know, God always deals with me, or I usually have to go through it after I preach on it. So we had two preachers who preached on sanctification here recently. You'll figure out who they are. So it's either Roger or Steve. So, matter of fact, now that I'm thinking about it, I think Steve's going, it's Roger. Because the enemy, listen, oh man, I could preach on this for a little while, but let me just say this. The enemy is not going to let you declare something and then not come against it. The enemy's not going to let you declare something and then the enemy's not going to say, let you declare it, and then the enemy not come against it and try it. You know, when you declare something, when you declare something about your life or declare something of what you're going to do for the Lord, the enemy is not just going to sit back and go, wow, that's a great idea. Good job. No, no, no. The enemy's going to come and test it to see if you really believe that it was the Lord who spoke to you to do it, or if it's just you. Because how many knows that many times we write a check on in the nighttime that we can't cash in the morning time? Amen. You know, we got good intentions. Like, you know, calling somebody at late at night and going, hey, what time you going to go running in the morning? I'm going to go with you. And then when the morning comes, no, I'm not with you anymore. Because it's still dark outside. Ain't that right, Dennis? So, I just asked him, was that right? I didn't say it was him. It was. Last night he said, Pastor, when are you going to run in the morning? I said, I'll be running. I'm going to run about 7 to 7:30. He said, all right, I'm going with you. I said, really? I said, yeah, man, I'm going with you. I'm determined. I'm going with you. I said, all right. 6:45, I got a text. It's too early. I ain't going to make it. Yeah. I almost fixed him. I almost ran by his house going, knocking on the door. Come on, get out of there. Come out, devil, or I'm coming in. But I thought I wouldn't do that. Amen. Hallelujah. But I'm just saying. All right, so you say, Pastor, does that have anything to do with the message? Absolutely. Because it has to do with fixing your heart on something. Fixing your heart. Our text says this. So King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem and reigned. For Rehoboam was 140 years old. That means 41. When he began to reign and reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there, and his mother's name was Naamah an Amoritess. And here's where I want to go. And he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. He prepared not to seek the Lord. Most of us fail in whatever we do because we don't prepare to do what we say we're going to do. So we've got to get out of the habit of not preparing our heart or fixing our heart to do something. Because, you know, it's exercise, it's serving God, it's saying no to the cookies, it's whatever that, you know, saying no to the new dress or the new shoes or the new car or the new motorcycle or whatever, you know. It's say you got to fix yourself only until you get your heart right and your mind right and you get it together is the only time it's going to take place. You know, because it doesn't matter until you choose. I tell people like this, until you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, nothing's going to change. Because Americans, we don't change usually because we see the light. It's because we feel the heat. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm not there yet. I'm still working on it. But you know, 2 years ago, why I started losing weight, it wasn't because I had read a book and went, oh, well, you know, I probably ought to lose a little weight and get a little healthier. No, it's because my 56-year-old brother died. And then 18 months later, my 61-year-old brother died. I was like, hey, I'm getting closer to that age. I felt the heat. And that's why I began to change. And you know what happened? I had to fix my heart that I'm going to do this for me. And you know, because I don't want to be unhealthy and die. All right. So and what was so ironic is my two brothers that died was the most healthiest people that in our family. So what I probably ought to do is just sit around and eat fried chicken and grease all the time. So what, country fried gravy and stuff like that. And so I don't suggest that. But anyway, but I thought about it. All right. So here's what he said. He did evil because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. Now, besides adoration and thanksgiving, and that's what we do when we worship, when we praise God, when we thanksgiving and adoration, praising God is one of the tools of spiritual warfare that God provided for us. And we got to understand that praising God is not just something we do at church. Worshiping God is not just something we do in the house of God, but it is something that we do to combat the enemies of our life. That we use it to bring the presence of God to wherever and whatever situation we're in. You could be in the darkest night and the darkest hour of your life, but you begin to lift up your voice unto God and begin to praise Him. And He said that He is enthroned with the praises of His people. Another translation said that He inhabits the praises of His people. And you know what's got to happen? In order for God to win a battle, He just got to show up. And if God shows up in your situation, then the battle has already been won. The battle has already turned because Jesus or God just showed up in your situation. So if it's night and you need it to be light, then worship God and let the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the bright and the morning star, let Him show up in your life and let Him shine on the darkness of your life.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. So praising God helps me battle temptations and also send Satan packing. If you're battling a temptation, begin to praise God. Whatever that temptation is, begin to praise God. Usher in His presence. That is a stronghold and a powerful weapon in your hands. You know, I think about it like this, and certainly I'm not comparing myself to God because I know me, dude. So not that, but there was a couple that used to go to our church and the husband wanted her to go somewhere where she shouldn't go and he shouldn't go either, and he wanted her to go, and they come to church here, and they wasn't in leadership or anything like that, but it was a place that nobody in this place ought to go. That's all I'm gonna say. Nobody. Did you hear me? Nobody. So. And so he really wanted to go, and he kept pressuring her to go. Here's what she said. She said, I'll tell you what. She said, let's call Pastor and tell him where we're going. And if he says okay, then I'll go with you. He said, Lord, no, don't call Pastor. Don't call Pastor. Don't tell him. Don't say nothing to him. And she didn't. She told me about it. But he said, don't say nothing to him. I don't want him to know that I wanted to go there. And so, in the same sense, it's the same way with God. When we are being tempted and when we are being bombarded, when you get God in the situation, all of a sudden you go, okay, I don't want to do that. Okay. You know, I'm not one of those preachers that's going to tell you that, you know, I've heard preachers say that I do everything I want to. No, I don't. I'm not one of those. Because there's still some things I want to do that I can't do. It's not right to do. So therefore I have to worship God and let His presence come in. And His presence changes my situation and my circumstances and even changes what I want and what I don't want. When I'm in His presence, I don't want these other things that are not good for me when I'm in His presence.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. So we got to have His presence. His presence is warfare. So, point number one is this, preparing the heart. Now, if you have a mobile device, you know that we go to YouVersion, you can go to YouVersion.com, do a search for live events for CRCOG, which is Crystal River Church of God, and my notes will be on there that you're seeing up here. And then you can email them to yourself or something like that. All right, preparing the heart. And our text said, and he did evil because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. Most of us don't prepare our heart to seek the Lord. We just take it for granted. Most of us don't prepare ourselves to come to church. Well, wait a minute, we get dressed, we do, yeah. But we don't prepare to come to the house of God. We don't prepare to seek the Lord. And then you've got the other side of the coin where they go overboard preparing. What do you mean? Because they think that they can't worship God or they can't praise God unless everything is right. All right, we got to have the right music going on. All right, we got to have the exact same light. Oh, yeah. Okay. The phone's got to be off. We got to have mood lighting going on, and our nails need to be done, and I need to be in my elastic, you know, cause if I, in case I get wild, I don't want to be restricted, you know, and then you get ready to worship God and the phone rings or something, you know, and it just throws you out. That's not what I'm talking about. Preparing your heart, preparing the heart says, God, I'm going to seek you until I find you. I'm going to seek you and I'm going to worship you until I feel a breakthrough. I'm going to worship you until I feel your presence. I need your presence in my life. So I'm going to worship you. I'm going to sing. It's not just singing a song. It's understanding what you're singing about. It is a posture that you take. And I don't mean laying down or sitting up or kneeling, but it is a posture of saying, God, I want you more than anything else. I want you. I need you in my life. And you begin to talk to him and you begin to worship him and adorn him. And then all of a sudden, the anointing begins to come and you feel a sense of God in your life.
Amen.
You need that. You want that. Psalms 10:17 says, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart. You will cause your ear to hear. And listen to me. You know, I've told this story many times. But years ago, there was a lady that was upset about, she didn't feel like God was hearing her. And she just caught me one of those days. You know, because I don't always have an edit button. And she caught me one of those days and she said, well, Pastor, God don't hear me when I pray. And I said, then just cuss God. She said, excuse me? I said, just cuss him. Just cuss him out. She said, I will not. He'll hear me. Wait a minute. He'll hear you cussing him, but he won't hear you worship him. I don't know about you guys, but I'm a father of a two. And they're older now, but you know, I have the ability to tune them out. But when they go, Daddy, I love you. Excuse me? What'd you say there? Daddy, you're the greatest dad. Now you're talking. Because it has the ability to bring me right back, right? It has the ability to bring me right back because their praise and their worship is what I long for. All that complaining and she touched me, she hit me, she's in my place, blah, blah, blah. Shut up.
Yes, amen.
And thank God that don't happen anymore because they're 22 and 17. It happened last week, but not this week. So, you know, that don't go on anymore. But I'm just kidding. And because my oldest is in the back giving me that look that, you know, I am going to put you in an old folks home one day and I'll be choosing where that is. So anyway, but what I'm trying to say is that if so many times we come to the house of God or we go to worship, but what we do is complain. What we do is complain. You know, oh God, Lord, you're talking about me giving and Lord, my car just needs a new compressor and I gotta get the something for my kids and then they gotta go to college, something about an education and something about they ain't got no money and Lord, I'm gonna tell you right now, if I was God, I would wipe most of us out, including me. I'd just be like, shut up. Thank God he's not. But when I come to him and going, Lord, all of these situations are going on in my life. And you know they're going on because there's nothing hidden from him. But in the presence and in the midst of it, I give you praise and I give you glory and I give you honor. For you are the life. You are the life in my life. You are my king. You are my savior, my redeemer. Then I believe that something begins to happen. And you know what? My life doesn't seem so chaotic anymore because his presence comes in. And I know somehow, some way, it's going to be all right. I might not come out the way I want to come out, but I know that if I hold on to his hand, he's going to bring me through it no matter what happens. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, King Rehoboam, the grandson of David, sought the Lord for only 3 of the 17 years that he reigned. Why? Because he failed to prepare his heart. He failed to prepare his heart. He got what I call do better. People come to church and get do better, but they don't prepare their heart to seek the Lord. We come to church and we get do better because maybe we've hit bottom or maybe we feel something empty, so we decide to do better. And there's nothing, you can't just do better. You can try, but without the grace of God in your life, you're going to fail. God's not looking for good men and good women. He's looking for grace-filled men and grace-filled women. He's not just looking for men and women who are trying to do better. He's looking for men and women who will say, God, I can't do any better on my own, but with you I can do all things. Come into my life and just take my life completely, and I know that I'll be better. See, the Hebrew word for prepare means to establish, to fix, to apply. So when I say fix your heart, establish your heart. Establish your heart. Here's what the problem is that we try to muster up worship and praise when we haven't practiced. And when if you're in the military, they train you and train you and train you and drill you and drill you and drill you until it becomes second nature to you. Until it becomes, you can't help it. Ryan's brother, Brett, he's a deputy sheriff now here in the county. But how many tours did he do in Afghan or in two tours in Iraq? And so as he was training, his training officer had never been to Iraq. Well, they were out on a call and they were standing out in the street and shooting broke out. Yeah, right here in little old Citrus County. And his first reaction, Brett's first reaction, was to throw the guy down to the ground. Now, the guy that he threw down didn't appreciate that. But it's second nature. It's second nature. He didn't even think. He threw him down and got down with him. And we've got to get to the point that when something happens, that it's not that we weeble and wobble and then decide to worship, that it's second, Lord, I give you praise. As soon as it happens, God, I lift you up. Because Jesus said, if I be lifted up, he would draw all men unto you. He said, if in my presence there is fullness of joy. So what I've got to do is as soon as it happens, not to get ready, but stay ready, so I ain't got to get ready. I'm preaching better than you, amen. But we got to get to that point, church. David fixed his heart on what he would and what he would not do. Psalms 57:7 says, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. My heart is fixed. We do that in most areas of our life. You know, we prepare our heart for distraction. We prepare our heart for discomfort. We prepare our heart for if things don't go our way. We get married, but if things don't go our way, we know we'll just get divorced. We don't fix our heart. If this happens, here's what we're going to do. Many times my wife and I have had, you know, arguments or fusses, and there was several times, dark times that we went through. But the one thing that I would ask her, and especially when I was going through a dark time, is me and you okay? Because if me and you are okay, I can handle everything else. And that's what it needs to be with God. God, as long as me and you are okay, as long as I know that you're on my side, I know that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I know, God, that if you are on my side, I can do all things through you which strengthen me. As long as I know that you're on my side and I'm on your side, God, as long as we're in this thing together, I know that I can do all things. And so you've got to fix your heart. When an opportunity presented itself, for David to speed up the promise, he resisted the temptation by entering into song and praise. He could have killed Saul and sped up the process, but he decided not to. Praising God establishes, fixes in our mind the greater purposes of God in our life and his strength in us. We don't just walk by sight, but we walk by faith. We don't just walk by what I see. I walk by what I know. Come on, somebody. I don't just walk by the circumstances around me. I walk by what the Word of God declares in my life. Because this Word is more powerful than my circumstances. And this Word is more powerful than what I'm walking through. This Word is the written Word of the Almighty God. That's why I got to have my heart fixed. Point two. Ordained strength. Perfected praise. Ordained strength. God said, I have ordained strength. Hallelujah. In Matthew 21 and 15, the Bible says this in the New Testament. But when the chief priest and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant and said to him, Do you hear what these are calling you? You hear what they're saying to you? And Jesus said, yes. Have you never read out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants? You have perfected praise. Haven't you ever heard it? He was quoting Psalms 8 and 2. Where it says that in 8 and 2, I don't want to misquote it. He said, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. So he's using, Jesus used that he has perfected praise. And David is saying that he has ordained strength. Well, which one is it? See, a group of religious leaders criticized Jesus for permitting the young people in the Temple Mount to worship him and praise him. But he replies, quoting them Psalms 8 and 2, that infants and nursing infants and babes have ordained strength. So what is it then, Pastor? Is it ordained strength or is it perfected praise? Let me tell you this. Excuse me. It is both. It is perfected praise, but it's also ordained strength. Because what Jesus was telling us is that in praise, ordained strength comes.
Amen.
In praise, you gain strength from praising. You ever been in a good service or good, you ever been in, just to get into a time of worship and a time of praise, and all of a sudden, man, you feel like you could swing through hell with a water pistol and beat the devil up. Man, all of a sudden, you feel like Rocky, Dun, 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 dun. Woo! Let me at him. Where's he at? I got my one bullet. He's teaching them that strength and praise are interchangeable. God has ordained strength and he has perfected praise. The power of praise. Praise will silence your enemy. You have ordained strength, praise, because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy. Listen. Yesterday, Althea, we had her dad's funeral right here. Alfonso Council. And man, I'm going to tell you what. They came marching in, the family. They came marching in. What was that song? Every praise is to our God. Every praise is to our God. And man, they was when Althea should have been, just squalling everywhere. And I know she's done her squalling. But she came in marching and with her hands lifted, and every praise is to our God.
Amen.
Every praise is to our God. And when people would look at her wondering, how are you doing that? It ain't because she's just got so much intestinal fortitude. No, it's because that Jesus, that praise had strengthened her. Praise had strengthened her. Instead of wallowing, she was worshiping. Instead of wallowing, she was praising, because she recognized that praise was her strength, and the strength of her praise also silenced the enemy. What else is the enemy going to say? See, some of you just need to let the devil know to shut up. Because sometimes you get down. I know y'all don't listen, talk about me. Sometimes you get down and the devil just talks to you. And as long as you let him talk, you just keep going lower and lower and lower and lower and lower. And pretty soon you're as low as a gopher's transmission. You're low. But at some point in time, you need to go, shut up. And you ain't got to say shut up. All you got to do is, Lord, I worship you. God, I praise you. Every once, you know, people, I'm Pentecostal, I'm third generation, man, I'm a little wild, you know, but I was a little wild when I wasn't saved. I'm just saying. And so I'm a little wild now that I am saved. So sometimes I'll just go, hey! Now I don't hunt a lot anymore. I used to hunt, but I quit. Why? Because it was boring and cold. I'm just being real. But here's what I do know about hunting. If you got on somebody else's property, they didn't have to go, excuse me, what's your name? They didn't have to go, hey, excuse me, but I think you're on my property. All they had to go is, hey! And you'd get off their property. Some of y'all just need to look at the devil and go, hey! I'm tired of your mouth. You better get it off of me. And the way you get it off of me is begin to worship God. Begin to praise God, because He has ordained strength and He has perfected praise. And when you begin to praise, the devil of hell has to close his mouth, shut his mouth, pack his bags, and get out of your sight. Hallelujah. Point number three. Let me finish it up here. Point number three. Oh, let's see. What is it? All right, there we go. Praising God in the face of fear. And I've already been talking about it. Praising God in the face of fear. One of the greatest examples of this is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Most of us, you know, if you've been in church long enough, you know this story. It's the story of Jehoshaphat. It's the story where Jehoshaphat sent out the choir. They was going to fight. They was going to go into battle. And they said, we need some fighters. And some of the big men, they said, hey, I'm your man, dude. I'll knock them out. Come on, right here, I'm your man. I'm not scared. And then Jehoshaphat said, no, you ain't the one I'm looking for. I want the choir. And the choir said, you know, I resigned yesterday. I ain't really a part of that choir. It got a little hard for me. And so I ain't. He said, no, I need you to go fight. He said, I don't know how to fight. But what do you know how to do? What do you know how to do? I know how to sing. Then you're the one I'm looking for. You're the one that I need. See, we think that God's going to ask us to do something we don't know how to do. God's going to use what you've already been doing. Come on, somebody. So praising God was the key to a God-given strategy for defeating the enemy. Now Jehoshaphat, the Bible said, because of time, I won't have you go there. But 2 Chronicles chapter 20, you can go there later, write some notes down. But in verse 3, the Bible said that Jehoshaphat feared. That he feared. See, where do we get off thinking that we don't, you know, if we are afraid, it is a lack of faith? No, sometimes if you're afraid, that means you're human. But you can replace fear with faith. And that happens through your praise, through your worship. Now, in verse number 3, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, it says, and Jehoshaphat feared, but here it comes again, and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. He was afraid, but he done. I'm going to set myself to seek the Lord. I'm going to fix my heart to seek the Lord. And God gave him a strategy. If you will fix your heart to seek God, God will give you a strategy. And sometimes the strategy don't make no sense. Wait a minute, God. You want me to send out my worship folks to fight the battle? I mean, you know my worship leader, he ain't going to make it a mile. There's a few of them that are run out there, but you know, God, I mean, have you seen my worship team? They ain't real strong, except for that little one. That little one a little strong. But Lord, now what? But you know, they don't know how to fight. Doesn't matter how big they are, they don't know how to fight. You know, Big Pastor John, you know, those of you who don't know our youth pastor, he's 6'5", 250 pounds. I think he's got some kind of belt in Taekwondo. I have a black belt myself from JC Penney. Me and John was talking one day. I said, John, you ever been in a fight? He said, no. I said, then I'd kill you with one hand tied behind my back. Because the first time I hit you in the nose, you're going to run. He said, well, you want to try? I just got through running. I'm a little tired right now. But if I hadn't got through running, I'd try. No, I was just kidding. But I did tell him, I said, I'd kill you. You ain't never been in no fight. And if you ain't ever been in no fight, you don't know how to fight.
That's right.
A theory of a fight ain't the same as being in a fight. Young man that was served with an acquaintance, a friend of mine, served with Tiger Yates, as a matter of fact. He was talking with Bill Gwaltney, and they'd been trained, and they'd been, but the first firefight, they asked him, oh, was you scared? He said, man, I was scared to death. He said, as a matter of fact, I don't know what I shot, who I shot. He said, I just put my gun up, kept my head down, and just kept firing. Because having a theory of how to fight and fighting are two different things. It's one thing to be on Call of Duty. Sorry, I got 3 lives left. Sorry. Play Call of Duty, so I can talk about it. I mean, I thought I haven't played in a long time because I really stink at it. But anyway, but I thought about it, Mark. I thought about it. I said, when I'm getting my strategy together, all right, I'm going to run over here. I'm going to get behind that thing, and I think I can take that guy out. And I'm running, and the Joker shoots me. I said, you should have exercised more. You could have run faster, you little punk. But here's what I thought. That in real life, there's no way I would have tried that. I'd have played it safe. And I'd have just... And I would have just shot. So we have a theory. But we've never been in it. So Joseph is saying, God, these people don't know how to fight. He said, oh, you didn't quite let me finish. He said, I'm going to fight. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. He said, I'm going to fight. They just going to sing. They just going to sing my praise. And I'm going to fight. And as long as they sing my praise, I'm going to fight the battle. And they ain't going to have to fight. They just going to have to sing. So as long as they can know how to sing, then I'm going to fight the battle. And he said, the battle is not yours, it is mine, says the Lord. And the Bible said that they begin to worship and begin to sing and begin to praise. And the Lord set ambushments against them. Hallelujah. He prepared his heart. Verse 5 and 7. Look at it real quickly. Verse 5 and 7 says, then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers. Man, he starts telling them, the Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven and rulest not, King James Version, okay. Rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen, and in thine hand is there not power and might so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and gave it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? See, did you hear all that? How he was, Lord, you the man. Lord, you all that in a bag of chips. Lord, you that. You that, God. And then he says again in verse 14 through 17, he says, don't fear. God speaks through the prophet Jehaziel, and that they should not fear, since this was going to be God's battle, not theirs. So here's what happened. He prepared his heart by adoration and praise. Give my next one, Liz. So it caused him to look beyond what he saw. When you begin to worship, you begin to look beyond what you see. When you begin to praise, you begin to look beyond what you see. Now, here's what I love. Do you have verses 14 and 17? Bring that up, King, a new King James, if you would. You don't have it? Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite, the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all you of Judah and the kingdom of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of the great multitude, for the battle is not yours, it is ours, it is God's. Tomorrow, go down against them, they will surely come up by the ascent of Zid, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jerusalem. Now, here's what he said, verse 17. You will not need to fight in this battle. You will not need to fight in this battle. But the next word, position yourself. Position yourself. So he said, look beyond what you see. But then the second part, he said, position yourself. And some of us don't get in the right position to win the battle, because we're not in the right position. You know, if you're off balance, it's easy to push you over. But if you're ready, it's a lot harder to push you over, to get over on you, if you're in your position. And then he goes a little bit further. He said, position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. See the salvation of the Lord. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Stand still, look for the deliverance. God is with you. The people praised God in chapter 20, verses 18 through 19. And upon hearing that, that the Lord was through Jehaziel and Jehoshaphat and all the people praised God. Man, isn't it wonderful when God tells you, I'm with you? Isn't it wonderful when God says, you're not in this thing alone? I mean, I'm glad when my wife says it. I'm glad when my children say it. I'm glad when my friends say it. But man, when God says, I'm with you. When God says, you're not in this thing alone. Then we go a little bit further. In verses 20 through 21. Believe and praise. Believe and praise. Believe God. And part of bringing that faith into the fruition is praise. It builds up your faith. If all you want is, well, I believe, but you don't ever think about it, you don't ever talk about it, you don't ever thank Him for it, then it's not going to build up your faith. But as you believe God and praise God, it strengthens your faith. Having faith in God will bring victory, because it begins to establish you. It establishes you as you praise God. Praising God invites His ruling presence. Psalms 22:3. God's presence. As a result of praise, the presence of God confounded the enemy and gave the victory to Israel. Church, I want to tell you tonight, the battle's not yours. The battle's not yours, but God's. Praise brings the presence of God. And praise brings the victory.
Amen.
We have victory tonight. Not because you're at the right church. We have victory tonight. Not because you're a theologian. You can have victory tonight because praise brings victory. You can have victory tonight because praise lets the devil know that he ain't got you. But pastor, I'm struggling. Praise God. Because if you're struggling, it means that you're not defeated. It is just proof that the devil ain't won. If you ain't struggling and you've done give up, you know, I told y'all, few weeks about, or it was a bit long time ago now, about the raccoon in the trap. Well, I had another one the other night. I hate them little jokers. But man, he was a little thing, but got in that trap, and he rolled that trap about 10 yards away from where it was caught. He must have got hungry because he rolled up into the trash. Brought some stuff up in the cage with him. I'm telling you, that thing was full of plastic bags and food. I don't know how he did it. I don't know how he ate what he ate. I couldn't even eat all of it. He had a big rotisserie chicken. Gone. Bones gone. Gone. But while he was there, I guess he said, well, if I'm going to be here, I might as well eat. When you feel like you're done, don't just lay down and die. See, some of you have given up, and my God, help me, Jesus. Some of you have given up, and the only people who don't know it is you. Fix your heart that I will praise the Lord. Stand to your feet with me tonight. I told you I wasn't going to keep you long. I'm getting you out 10 minutes early. Here's what I want us to do. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. I don't know if y'all just felt that, but I felt something just sweep on the stage here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. and again in the evening at 6 p.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.